As you know, Brian is our worship pastor, and we knew for quite a while that Brian was coming, long before he was able to come and serve, and we knew that he was serving overseas, and maybe some of you actually knew he was serving in Germany, but we don't know a whole lot more about them. So I am super excited that this morning we get to hear from Brian and Kara as they share their story with us about their serving in Germany. Come on up, guys.
Good morning. Like Jane said, it's been nice to get to know all of you, and it feels like... Oh, yes. We should get handheld. I have number three.
I have one.
Does this?
Can I turn on?
Yeah. But it feels like maybe you haven't
Test.
Gotten... Yeah.
Sorry.
you haven't been able to get to know us and what we've been doing for the last several years. We want to share with you this morning.
Good morning, Lancaster BIC. It really is nice to be able to speak with you all. We've been sharing at a lot of other different churches, supporting churches, and with our personal supporters, but it's nice to get a chance to share with you, our new church family. And since I'm up here, I would also like to thank you for your very warm welcome of us. Our kids feel really at home here. They get excited every Sunday to come, and that's no small thing. So thank you very much for the warm reception you've offered our family.
Yeah, so we've been traveling a lot to different churches as we've been back, and we've been telling stories, and it's been great. This morning, we will tell a few stories, but we want to put it in a little bit of a different perspective, because I think sometimes when So in Genesis 11, in the previous story in Genesis, God had rescued Noah from the flood and his family, and he basically started over with his family, and he told them to be fruitful and to increase in number and to fill the earth. And people were spread out over all the earth and fill it. And so now we come to Noah's descendants in Genesis 11. And it reads, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone, tar for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse their language so that they will not be able to understand each other.' So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That's why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth." So here we see people settling in one area. They didn't want to be scattered. They wanted to make a name for themselves. And they had forgotten about God's good purposes for the world, that we are to fill the world. And they started to filling their hands with their own purposes and their time with their own purposes. And God was grieved because they had forgotten what he had asked them to do. Instead, they were huddling in a tight ball. So God took the ball and scattered them himself, confusing their languages. And so I asked, how does this apply to us? We see Jesus giving a similar command in Matthew 28. He says, "Go, make disciples of all nations." The command to go, to for the kingdom of God. That's what he calls us to do.
And it was this idea of spreading out that actually sent us first looking for a place to serve. We were quite content at our church, and he had a job full-time there, and we had two small children. But the Lord kept putting these little conversations in our path and opening little doors for us, and it made us question why we felt like we were in this tight ball with all these other Christians and not spreading out. And although that is possible to do across a table or across a street, there are all kinds of spreading out. We felt like the Lord was inviting us to spread further out. And so through a lot of open doors that we walked through, we ended up signing up to go spend some years in Halle, Germany. And so we'd like to give you a little bit of idea of what Halle is.
Yeah, Halle is a city of about 225,000. It is part of what was formerly East Germany. And so this is very different than what West Germany is. West Germany, there are a lot of churches, a lot of Christians there. East Germany, there was 40 years of communism there. And so the idea of Jesus even, or of spiritual things, is not even there. And so the confessing followers of Jesus would be around 2%.
Yeah, or a little bit less than 2%. And so we found when we got there that almost everyone in our day-to-day interactions had no representations of Jesus in their everyday circles. So it really was like an unreached area, which was very exciting to get there and feel like this this was a place where potentially every single relationship we had with the children of our friends' parents and, I mean, our children's friends' parents, yes, and people on our street, they all had empty soil waiting for seeds to be planted. And it seemed like these actually were doors he was opening. And that is one thing we really want to make clear, that we went there. Is this not worth using? It's like so loud. Is it loud for you? Okay, sorry. I don't love the sound of my own voice. Anyway. So funny, yeah. That it was so clear that it was God opening these doors, and he is the farmer, and so all we can do is kind of scatter these seeds, but he makes things grow. And it was so clear, these people that he had brought to us with ready soil in their hearts, and it wasn't that way for everyone, but those people that he brought to us, that he prepared, they were just ready, and we didn't know that we were walking into a harvest field, which is not the normal experience for most missionaries, I think. Maybe we're getting there, but when we walked into this place, it seemed like there was a lot of well-tilled soil just waiting for seeds. And so that's what we did for 5.5 years. We just scattered Jesus seeds everywhere, which is a really awesome job. And so we want to talk about some of those wonderful situations that he prepared for us, and to give him all the glory, because he did all of this, and he just invited us to kind of stand there and scatter them, and he did everything else. We like when we share these stories because we feel kind of like, you know, when someone's telling you stories about your dad that you didn't know, and you said, oh, I didn't know he did that, and they said, oh, you should have seen it, and they can explain this whole side of him that maybe you never saw before, and that's kind of a little what it feels like we get to do, because not everyone has seen these or as many circumstances, as many examples of these really awesome things he does in places that are so dark, where it's shining so dark, his light is really so bright and evident, and you can't call it anything else but him. It is his spirit that does these things. So that's what we want to tell you about this morning.
So we have a few stories that illustrate these things that our Father is doing. So when we arrived there, we didn't know much German, but God decided to give people that knew English and throw them across our path. And one of those was a family that had just arrived in Halle from Portugal, originally from São Tomé, but the boys had learned English through playing video games online. And they were very interested in music, and they hadn't had much training at all, but one of them was really interested in taking piano. And so that's what I did. Let's do piano. And it was different than any other piano lessons I had, because before I would use a book and we'd learn the reading the notes, and this time it was all purely by ear. And God had gifted him in such a way and had prepared him in such a way that he could soak it up just like a sponge. And everything that I threw at him, he learned almost instantly. And so that was the beginning of our Solideo worship band.
Solideo was the name of our church. Yes. We didn't tell you that. It means God alone in Latin, and that's the name of our church. It was a small group when we arrived, about 7 to 10 people.
Yeah. And yeah, there's a picture of that, actually.
Later.
But if you fast forward to today, from 6 years ago, this young man is now a man. He's married, and he has taken over the majority of the responsibilities I had as a worship leader at our church. And it's just wonderful to see the maturity in which he grew and the gifting that God had given him to be this part of the church body.
Another awesome thing that God did very graciously was that he brought us there a year and a half before the gigantic migrant wave came. A lot of you know how many refugees flooded into Germany, and our city was one of those cities. It was filled. I think we got around 7,000 or 8,000 in the time that we were there. But we got there a year and a half early, and so we had enough time to settle our family, to feel adjusted, to learn German, and so that when they came, it was like we were welcoming them. And we were able to put together a ministry with the rest of our church and neighborhood, which was a really weird door that the Lord opened for Brian that he walked through, and he can tell you about that.
Well, so the community kind of, there are a few people who wanted to welcome this wave of refugees, which we knew were coming, and we prepared then hygiene packets. Just for immediate needs. And so they did a drive, and we collected a whole bunch, and there was a day that we got together and assembled them. But in addition to the hygiene elements, we also got household goods and clothing and furniture even that was piled up in a corner. And so fast forward maybe a couple days later, I was returning home from a grocery trip on my bike. This is the beauty about going on bike or by foot instead of a car. You're riding, and if you see somebody on the road or along the road, you stop and you say hi. And there is this lady who I had just gotten to know who had helped organize this drive, and she was a local teacher at the local school. She was outside the school just standing there. I thought, well, I'm going to go talk to her. I'll say hi. And I stopped, and we talked, and she said, well, We're trying to figure out some next steps with the stuff that we have still, the furniture. Do you want to come and join the meeting? Sure. A few days later, there I found myself in a pub, tightly in a circle with lots of chain-smoking middle-aged women. And I was wondering, what am I doing here? I have no idea what's going on. I don't smoke and I don't drink. And I'm a man. But it came up that they needed some space to store all this stuff because they wanted to use it, but they needed to pay a lot of rent for where they were storing it at the time. And I said, well, our church has space. We can store that. And so that's led us down a new path.
And that started a year and a half ministry of people from our church and people from the local community working together. It was just a collection point for the city, and then it turned into the collection point for the city. And then we started having groups of people come and box up this stuff and send it off to this hotel in Halle where refugees were staying, and then they started coming to us directly, the refugees, and peek through the stuff, and we thought, this is getting chaotic, so we closed for a couple, I guess a month, and we renovated and turned it into this beautiful store, all on our church property, a store with hanging things, with price tags, and then we gave out gift cards to all of the refugees who came, and so they could go shopping for free. But it was just a much more dignified distribution of goods. And the beautiful thing was that it was in partnership with people from the community, and they ran it pretty much, which was the cool part. And they would invite people, like, hey, you should come to Solideo. We've got a lot of stuff there. They're really nice people. And so we had workers, we had sorters, and we had guys that just stood outside and drank tea.
That was the beauty of this, too, because the men would come, and usually they wouldn't come all the time, but sometimes they'd come and they'd peruse, like, maybe a minute or two.
They'd have to come to get the gift card to give to their wife, yeah. And then they'd go outside.
And then they'd go outside while the women would continue to shop, and that would be an opportunity for me to offer them tea and coffee, and we would talk in our broken German and just make fun of the Germans and the German language. And among other things, not all making fun of Germans, but it was a time of connection and a time of relationship building. And there are relationships that persist still today because of that store.
And that store was great. We kind of had four goals for that with the other Christian workers together. The first was to provide basic tangible goods, because if the book of James shows us anything, it's that you can't just say, I wish you well, and send people on their way, but it's our responsibility to offer people, if we can, what they actually need. And so this was a way to offer people what they need, and it also was this blanket statement that churches care about refugees, which was really an important statement to make in Halle at that time. And it also allowed for relationships with the other German workers, and we got to know some of them really well through this, and they got to see our lives and meet our children and be in our homes and figure out why we were doing all this, which was huge. And it also opened up relationships with the refugees themselves. There were people from Iran, and there were a lot of Kurds and Syrians and some Afghans that came to us. I think altogether maybe 400 people had been through the store, although we had a regular bunch of about 40 or 50 that always came with their babies and their strollers. And they would offer us gifts because they really wanted it to be mutual, which we accepted completely. We didn't want them to feel like we were just giving down to them. So they would bring us baked goods that they made and whisper in broken German, this is for you, for your family, for later. And we would take it. We would take them up on their invitations to go over for tea. And or they'd stay after the store closed and sweep up. And we always let them help because it's a wonderful way to give them the dignity that they deserve.
Yeah. And lost my train of thought, but this was something that we would have never dreamed of doing. But God step by step led us in that direction. So you have a small group.
My ladies, another door that the Lord just opened for us that we walked through was the midwife that took care of me when I had my third child. I had my third and my fourth children in Germany. And after the third, she was a believer and in this wonderful ministry where she was about the age of my mother, and she was about the age of everyone's mother who was having a child at the time, and really relied on the Spirit to sense which of the women she cared for had ready soil to plant seeds, and she would invite them to her house, because in Germany, a midwife doesn't just deliver your baby. She visits you for the next 6 weeks in your home, at first every day, and then twice a week, and then once a week at the end. So she really gets to know people very well. And a lot of these women come from broken homes and do not have good relationships with their own mothers, and so she was like a mother to them in this time, a Christian mother who very loudly praises the name of Jesus in all that she does, which is weird for East Germans to hear. It just sounds like a very unreasonable thing for a reasonable woman to be saying, which is a good thing for them to hear. And so she collected some into this Bible group, women that would gather at her house every second Tuesday, And she would feed them a meal, and they could all ask her their questions about raising children, and is this normal, and all these questions that new moms have. And then she would open up the Bibles after they had been there for an hour and a half, and they would read from the words of Jesus, and she would teach them. And she invited me to join and said, I need someone else, so I'm not the only one. I'm not the only believer. But I said no because my German wasn't good enough. But she kept inviting me, and so I did start to go. And for the next 5 years, I saw these women, these four or five women, go from knowing nothing and not seeking to seeking to finding to growing to becoming disciple makers, all in this beautiful five-year stretch, and to see the strong trees that they've become in the faith with their roots that go down deep because they've been planted in such good soil. And to see how hungry they are to share with the people around them, the people in their families, their broken families who are healing because of Jesus and what he does and the healing he brings. It was so exciting. And to see that happen in the German culture, that's what we want. And we keep praying for that to happen and for this woman to keep doing what she does. And these women have started their own groups. So pray for them. Praise God.
So in the same way as God was leading us in small steps of obedience personally, he was also leading the church to be prepared for what was to come, what he was preparing for the church. And so we had met as a leadership team, and the pastor had decided, we're not going to do things only in German anymore. We're going to do English and German because we want to be welcoming to the international community. And so he started preaching in English with German translation. And the whole church, or the whole service, was translated up front. And at the same time, there was another young man who was helping us to set up chairs in the church room before the day before. And he said, "I think we should set up more chairs." Well, I mean, we have plenty. You know, it's
we had 20, and we didn't need them all.
Yeah. We have like 15 people at max, and you know we have 20, 25 chairs. He said, "Well, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I had a dream. And I had a dream that there were people coming and coming on a Sunday morning to Soli Deo, and they didn't have enough. We didn't have enough chairs for them to have a place, and so they started leaving. I think we should set up more chairs. So we set up more chairs. And these two things." Prepared the church, in part, for the influx that God would send. He sent, apparently by word of mouth, there were about 10 or 15 Persians that found our church one Sunday morning. It was about maybe a week or two after we had started setting up more chairs. And that basically doubled the size of our church. We still had to set up like benches in the back, but we were more or less prepared for this influx and ready to receive them with warmth. And that was the beginning of great growth for our church. Our church is very international. It has maybe 13 or 14 different nationalities. We have German and English up front, but then we also have Farsi translation with in-ear. And so it has seen a lot of growth, and God has prepared us for it.
And it's about 70 people now. We have a picture that. Actually, can you show? There are two pictures. One is our first Sunday.
That's
the last Sunday.
That's the last one.
That was the first Sunday.
That's Christmas Sunday.
That was Christmas. And then that's when we got ready to leave. That was our goodbye Sunday. So. Yeah. John and Jolene came to see us there when it was still like the first picture, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can keep that up there. We love those people. You could take a good long look at them. Mm-hmm. They're delightful.
They're wonderful people.
And so you might be thinking, wow, this sounds so exciting. It's cool what God can do when you have a completely open schedule and nothing else. And that's true. It was nice that we had this open schedule. But the longer we lived there, the more our life started looking a little more normal. We had kids in school, and we had kids that did sports that we took them to. And we had our friends. We had very full schedules, and that was where we started figuring out how we could synthesize this missionary life that we got accustomed to when we got there and we had free hands to this kind of normal life where we have a lot already to do. And so we started asking God, why aren't we seeing you the same way that we saw you when we got here and we had nothing and we had this empty house except for like a journal and a cup of tea and time for reflection, and our life was looking so full, kind of like it does here. And he was so faithful in taking things away from us, which was an act of mercy. First, that we could hold these things up and say, what can we get rid of? This is too much. We can't care for the people as they show up at our door anymore. So the store, why? The store lived it lived for a year and a half, and then we felt like he was releasing that and saying it's okay to close, and so we did. And what else? What else finished?
Yeah, well, and then you were part of an anti-fascist cooking club.
Vegan cooking club. Vegan, yes,
cooking
I was.
Club. Yes, yes, for a little while there.
I'm not a vegan, but I learned good German. And so, yeah, that was for a year, and then it sort of fizzled out, because when anti-fascists don't have a leader, they run out of plans sometimes. They were like, who's in charge? We don't know. It's over. So that finished, but still some of those really great relationships lasted, which is what I could handle. Yeah. So thanks to the Lord for giving me only what I could handle and not anymore. And he did begin to strip these things away, and then he put these deep desires in us for new things that were so deep that we couldn't shake them, and so that's what we pursued after that. When we already had to take Henry to gymnastics, and May had her choir club and all this, these other deep desires that we couldn't deny anymore, those were the paths that we started to walk down, because we thought, if this is from him, and he gives us these desires so that we can so that he can fulfill them, which is exciting for us, and it achieves the purpose that I believe he put it there for. So we'll tell you about the thing he put on Brian's heart and the thing he put on my heart that we did for our last 2 years once we were already very settled there.
So our church is now filled with a lot of new Christians within the last 1, 2, 3 years. And I was filled with the desire to, like, we need to disciple these new Christians and see them grow in maturity and develop roots so that they won't be swayed by, you know, a philosophy here and a philosophy there. And so we developed a monthly meeting. It was an intense meeting. It was called Secret Church. And we met for about 5 hours in the evening on Friday evening. We ate a meal. We prayed together. And then we studied the Bible. And we left room for questions. About anything, but especially about the themes of what we were talking about, the stories that we were going through, starting in Genesis and working through the Old Testament.
One guy asked the question, are Christians allowed to have dogs? Because Muslim families are not. It's a great question. And because he had a dog in Iran, and it was taken out into the street and shot in front of him. And he was so happy when we told him that one of the ways we can honor God is by taking good care of his creatures. He was so happy.
That was an easier answer to a question. There were much harder ones. But that was one way we were able to disciple our new Christians. Another way, we had small groups, and I was glad to be a part of, to organize an Afghan small group of new Christians. And again, we would walk through the Old Testament, starting in Genesis, and they would share what they learned as kids growing up in a Muslim family, and we would read the Bible, and we would compare and contrast, and we would discuss maybe why these differences are important, what's the same, what is important here that the Bible says that's different than what they grew up with. And it was really nice to see them grow in maturity, and we grew together quite close. We would pray a lot together and eat a lot together. Eating was very important in the life of Solideo. But my heart is still with them, more than almost anyone else,
with those Afghan
guys. Yeah.
And for me, shortly after we arrived, I started realizing that there weren't really any quality German kids scripture song albums. And that was something I grew up with as a child, and I learned so much scripture. And our kids listened to it, and they learned a ton of scripture, but there wasn't that for Germans. Or at least not anything so contemporary that that current families were listening to it. And I thought, that's something I could do, especially because it wasn't writing text in German. It was just taking German text and putting it to song. So I started doing that because it was almost like a physical burden sometimes. It was so clear that this is something that could be done and should be done and that I could do. So I started to do it. And it took a while till I finally pulled the team together and started telling people my secret plans. But we finally got a team together, and we actually started recording, and we're not finished. We've recorded 6 out of 12 songs, and we'll go back sometime in the next year and do the other 6. And the people from Hala have gotten totally behind this project, and they've supported it with money, and the best players are playing for it. And it's really exciting that Hala, this city where a lot of people think nothing good can come out of there, can give this gift to the entire German-speaking world, to all of Germany and Austria. And we pray for this album, that it will not be the last, and that it will touch a lot of hearts, and it will infect a lot of homes with the gospel. It's full of all this good news. So that's something that the Lord opened more doors for.
So we want to end with encouraging you. Spread out.
It might be across the lunch table, it might be across the street, or for some of you, it really might be across the world. And if you'd like to talk to us more about that, we love talking about that. Or Vicky, wherever she is, or John, or lots of people, that love talking about what it looks like to spread out across the whole world.
And we also encourage you to hold things with open hands. There may be something new to say yes to, or there may be something old to say goodbye to.
And we know that not all missionary experiences take place in complete harvest fields. We know this, but we want to give so much glory to God for this work that he's doing all over the place, for the people that are tilling very hard soil, and the people that are planting seeds, and the people that are watering, and the people that get to be there for the harvest. And he's in charge and in control of all of it, and we want to give him just all of the praise for doing these things and making his name great in the whole world, and that we get to be a part of it is so exciting.
Before I close with prayer, I'd like to say that the worship team and I are going to play a song called Azimas Name To Isol. And that's a Persian worship song that was a favorite at Solideo. And they would sing this with gusto. They would sing it so, loud. And it was very meaningful. And it's just a song that exalts the name of Jesus. And it's paired with a hymn text that outlines partly why we exalt the name of Jesus and what he has done for us. And so I invite you, if you want, you can sing along, you can try, or you can just reflect. It's up to you. But we'll use this song as a preparation for our hearts for communion. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing here and around the world. Lord, we thank you for preparing us for your purposes. Lord, open our ears so that we may hear more clearly. And help us to hold our lives with open hands so that you may work in them. If there's something that we need to let go, make that clear to us. Help us to let it go. If there's something new to take up, help us to take that up and find time for that. Lord, order our steps. Amen.